You see, one of the things that I'm disciplining myself to do as a man of God, okay, is not to have my best meetings when I go outside. That is going to be sad, because you hear a lot of men of God say that they have their best meetings when they went outside, right? They saw so and so miracles when they went to this church to minister. Not that the church was different, it's just that the people received differently, right? So I am trying my best not to have those experiences where I can only say that it was when I went outside to this particular place that I saw something that I had never seen before amongst the people that I teach or the people that I disciple. Now, as much as that is a reality, because it normally happens, we can make sure that it never happens. And it does not happen. And it's not just entirely dependent on the man of God. It is, however, dependent on the recipients or the people who are involved with receiving. So, when you despise, you treat lightly, you esteem less the grace of God, you see that that same grace will go somewhere else. And mind-blowing things are happening. Right? And like I said, Christ family, if we're going to see the hand of God in ways we've never seen before, that's why I keep teaching on, or I teach on honor from time to time. Because that is actually what siphons the power of God amongst the people. When the people do not honor the pastor, the people also do not honor themselves, because they don't even value themselves. Say, sister, can you pray for me? Oh, this sister cannot pray for you, crowd. She's a very... She offended me the last time. You see, when strife and, you know, issues about the flesh start to step in, there is a very serious problem. A very serious problem. But when you see your brother and there is this honor towards them, and you see your sister and there is this honor towards them, then you see that the power of God can move in a place. And let me say this, and let me correct this very well. See, the greatest disservice you can do yourself is to continually see yourselves as though this one was in level 400, this one was in level 300. So it means that because I was in level 400 and this person was in level 300, you, if it was in school, do you know that I'll be your senior? We don't have those ranks here. Don't have those things in our midst. Oh, this one there, level 100. This person, she was in level 300. So, I was even your leader. You don't respect me. I was your... No, put those things aside. There are many times things of the flesh, and they come to stop you from receiving what you can receive from another person that should be a blessing to you. So you learn to put titles aside, and you learn to put levels aside, and you learn to also put he's older than me, she's younger than me aside, and receive the power of God that surges through. So let's not have, oh, that was my senior, that was my director, that was my so and so, you need to respect me here. No, let's put those things aside. And put those things in your bag and leave them deep drowning in the sea. Don't go back for them again. Forget those titles, forget those accolades, forget those portfolios, forget all of those things. See, when you see me outside, I'm not bragging, but you will not believe that I can do anything. And I like it like that. You almost would sense this childlike sort of approach. Aside being a leader and all, I'm not talking about being childlike in maturity, but just being childlike to issues and to matters. Sometimes when you're even working with me, some of you even feel like you are maybe more mature. I was working with someone like that, and then something happened, and I was trying to smile to the lady, even though the lady was not right. I was trying to smile to the lady, and the person was trying to figure, you know, like, we are just mature. No, don't do that. You see, every grace man is humble to the core. You see, that is why not everybody can come close. Because the moment you come close, you begin to wonder what is so special about this person that God decides to do what he intends to do with this person. Yes, you would say, nah, there's nothing. Because you get to realize that there's this childlike attitude. Now, I'm having a conversation, and I'm going to talk to you about the supernatural effect of prayer on being childlike. Yes, it has that effect. That's what I'll bring you into. See, you cannot be prayerful truly and then have a very haughty, proud countenance that never listens to anybody, and that never thinks anything good about anybody, and that never tries to just lower yourself and learn from whoever it is. You learn from whoever it is you have to learn from. So there is that childlike. It is there. That's why, you know, sometimes I'm tempted not to allow people very close to me. Because the moment I allow them close to me, you get to actually see this nothingness. Even sometimes you see me asking a question as though I don't know. And I want to know. But the foolish man does not see that as the grace of God. He does not see that as the power of God. He sees that as, that is too some way. That's too childlike. You know, you need to really be whatever. But the grace of God does not settle mightily on somebody that is very haughty and lofty in their sight. You see me, when I was prayer director, I used to accompany everybody to their hostel. Not everybody per se, but everybody I can. I used to do it. Those who were there, I used to do it. I most of the times got to my hostel around 2 a.m. or maybe around 1 something. I walk down to old girls. Sometimes I'm there till like 2, 3. I'm standing with people and I'm actually talking with them. And I see them off to old girls. And sometimes when somebody wants to speak to me, I see them off to pronto. Then probably there's another squad. Then I see them off. Then maybe there's somebody actually waiting. That person has decided that we are not going to allow you. We want to be with you. So mostly I got to my hostel around 2, 3, 4, 5. I mean, many of the times. And I still do that today. For those of you who come around, you see that I'll be with you. I'll go and see this person off. I will not be able to see you because I want to see this person off. Wait, could you go and see this person off? Till everybody's literally gone. So, when you are very haughty and you don't pray, there is this high-mindedness that comes to you. I'm not saying this to Baba, but if you know me very well, there are many things I will want to handle on my own. Unless maybe you insist that, okay, this has to be done. Please, Pastor, please. Even I can do everything on my own. I can function clearly on my own. So, when you begin to pray, there is that influence of humility on your heart. There is that influence of humility on your heart. But sometimes, somebody who does not pray and is not praying, but that is not any of you, because I believe your best, you will almost start to take for granted the privileges that have been given you. Or you start to get haughty or lofty in your own mind. But I want to tell you, if you would learn to pray, there is going to be that influence on your heart. There's going to be that calm countenance on your life. Something that should get you irritated. It should get you angry. It should get you reacting. Who does she think she is? When you pray, you don't have time for... You don't even get to see those things. Because it's the flesh that likes to be puffed up. And that likes to say his own. And that likes to always have an opinion accepted. So, as you give yourself to prayer, you are going to be full of the Spirit, and you're going to submit yourselves one to another. A cantankerous or a cantankerous woman is a woman who does not pray. I can tell you. Don't pray. You know what it means with cantankerous? Cantankerous. You know what I mean? Somebody should Google it and share it. So I can help you. Check it. C-A-N. T-A-N-K-E-R-O-U. They don't pray. You can't tell me. You can't tell. You see, bad tempered, argumentative, uncooperative, Another synonym that is quarrelsome. Likes to quarrel. You see, always finding something to quarrel, to argue, to complain about. That kind of a person. Ill-tempered. Disagreeable. Difficult to deal with. Is actually proof that you are not praying. So you see, prayer affects so many very key things in your life. Yes, it affects so many key things. I've been teaching about the supernatural effect of prayer. And that's why I don't seem to have a lot of men of God who are friends. I don't seem to have a lot of them. Maybe God will help me, and I pray that He helps me. But I don't have, I just have maybe one of them. What? I can't be say a friend. Because I feel you will not allow me to be that simple child. I've always been with God. You see, when you're with me, you see me like, wow, I see. Oh, so what do you think about that? What do you have to say? Sometimes you think I don't know. I'll just be asking, what do you have to say? Okay, I see. Okay. I see. Okay. If you see me tell you anything that I want you to know, it's because I genuinely want you to know. That's why I share those things with you. Not that I want to prove that I know. I want you to genuinely know what I know. That's why I share it with you. Yes, but there are many things that I can know. I'll be quiet about it. But you're okay with a supposed, what do you call it? He's a God of God. And I will not be able to be very childlike. Childlike, just childlike at heart. You can say something I know, I'll be like, wow, that's really amazing. Me, I know it. That's how to be just childlike. But where everybody is trying to speak about their achievement, me, I don't have that strength to speak about an achievement or to speak about what somebody else is doing or to tell us what is happening. I don't like those things. Yeah, I don't like those things. Can we just serve God in that simplicity of heart? We can go to any kinky joint and just eat kinky. Not that because you're with me or because I'm with you, we have to go to a pizza joint or we have to go to, you know, something. I don't like being fixed into something that I don't want to keep. I don't like that. Yes, I don't like that. So I am easily comfortable around teenagers and people who are much younger. Yes, I'm easily comfortable. Because they don't have any, it's like you don't need to hide anything that much. It's like you want to eat kinky, we want to eat kinky. How much do you have? 2 cities, 2 cities, 2 cities. We have two. Let's just go and eat kinky. It's not their problem that much. So, can you just allow? So, a supernatural effect of prayer is that you're going to be humble and submissive. Let me tell you something. It is very difficult to be humble and submissive when you are not prayerful. I know it very well. It is very difficult. Yes, it's very difficult. You can't do it by the flesh. The flesh is naturally not like that. The flesh is naturally repulsive, recalcitrant, stubborn, disobedient, disloyal. You see that? It does not respond to obedience like that. It's naturally set to be stubborn. But the Spirit is what actually makes us like God. You know, Jesus was prayerful. Obviously, he was. He was. In Matthew 19:40. Let me show you a scripture before we actually go to our dwelling scripture. When you find yourself becoming angry, any listing, oh, you can't tell me that I came here and you should have given me a chair by now. You refuse to give me a chair. What the hell is going on here? I'm supposed to be treated with much respect. I'm supposed to be accorded. Who are you? Even God the Father, sometimes he stands. Standing is not that much of an issue. When I was here, I was supposed to be accorded some kind of respect. And I don't know what the people here are doing. Calm down now. So, remember, Jesus was that prayerful person. So he's going to exemplify, you know, that childlike. Now, I'm not saying you should just be playing everywhere. That's not what I'm talking about. I don't play everywhere. But there is that heart to always learn. There is that heart to always receive corrections. There is that heart to always say, oh, I don't know this. Can you teach me? There is that heart to always say, wow, I didn't know that. That's good. I cannot understand what you are saying very well. Because I didn't really know. You know some people never say they don't know. Oh, they know everything. See, I said, what's the meaning of cantankerous? You don't know. But to type, I don't know, it's a very difficult thing. It's a very difficult thing. They can't type, I don't know. I don't know. Oh, explain it to me. I don't know. Tell me what it means. You must not always provide an answer. Are you listening? If you don't know, you don't know. Then you learn. Then you know. You don't know the meaning. And I ask you, do you know the meaning? And so you say, we don't know. We've not heard it before. This is our first time. I've not heard the word before. Somebody will say, oh, cantankerous. It means lovely. And then another say, when we check the Google meaning, say cantankerous is not lovely. And then you see that their faces are just quiet. They are looking at whatever it is. Whether it's a cantanka, cantanka car. I hear cantanka. Yeah. Yeah, that car. Say, no, it's not a car, it's a word. It's a word, it's not a car. So, oh yeah, I know the word. What does it mean? It means beautiful, because cantanka is it. So they're trying to synonymize the car to the word. I said, no, it's not that. It means very stubborn, quarrelsome. And then you are just there. Now you don't know what to do. It's like, you know, whether to disappear. Disappear and all of that. Me, it's not difficult for me to tell that, oh, this thing, I don't know. What does it mean? It's not difficult. It's difficult for some people to say that, I don't know. I don't know. I'm not saying don't also be saying you don't know, but because you are also supposed to know a few things here and there. It's not that everything we ask, you don't know. Everything we ask, you don't know. Are you living or you are dead? You have to know some things, but you can't know everything. So he said, we don't know. So, Matthew 19, verse 14. So Jesus said, you know, let the little children come to me and do not forbid them. See that, for such is the kingdom of heaven. And do you know what Jesus did in verse 15? And he laid his hands on them and departed from there. Put KJV. He laid his hands on them. Some versions actually add, and blessed them. They were children. Jesus. Hey, Jesus. 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 What should I say? And then, you know,
They laugh. We're just calling you, Jesus. We're just calling you. You don't have anything to say.
And you can imagine, he just smiles and he lays his hands and he says, you're blessed. Be blessed. Bless them.
Jesus.
So the NLT says, and blessed them.
So Jesus,
why is your beard very long? And he has to find an answer. You know, I've not been shaving for 2 weeks now. I've been moving from Galilee to Samaria. I even met one woman. That's why I've not shaved, but I'm sure by tomorrow.
Jesus.
And he lays his hands and blesses them. Some of you, your faces are like, children cannot even come to you. A woman, and your face is like, when a child sees you, the child says no. When you say come, the child says no. Because he's afraid of what he sees. The child says no. But Jesus allowed them to come. He said, come. Laid his hands on them and blessed them. He laid his hands on them and blessed them. He laid his hands on them and blessed them. Actually, they tried to restrict them from coming to him. He said, no, such is the kingdom of heaven. Such is the kingdom of heaven. Childlike. Happy people, excited people, who are always laughing, who are always happy, who are always jolly, who are always full of joy, like they're always smiling, as if they don't have any problem, always talking, always asking, always flowing. They can sit on the floor at any time. Sit at the floor at any time. They don't mind. You don't need to give them an executive chair. They can do it. They can go anywhere. I went for camp meeting with a couple of people to Bishop Black's camp, one of Bishop Black's camp. And one of the guys said, Charlie, you know what? Let's go and sit on the floor, on the stage. Let's go and sit on the floor. We were all on the floor, on the stage. That's to be childlike. But you know, someone actually saw my picture and now texted me that he has seen it on the floor. Bishop Nancy, Prophet Pascal. Hey! We saw you on the floor. You were sitting there with the children smiling. That's to be childlike. See that? That's to be childlike. You don't grow past what God has made you. You don't grow past what God has said concerning you. So you're always happy. Don't take things very seriously all the time. It's not every time where you're supposed to be very serious. It's like we can't even tell whether you are with us or you are against us. It's like you are extra serious. Everybody's talking with their friends and flowing and being happy and excited and jolly and just laughing and talking, and you are just alone. See, there's something we ought to be able to. Something that we have to become. We just can't be serious all the time. See, when you're serious all the time, we can describe it as a medical condition. When you are also laughing all the time, it's another medical condition. So we should be able to have a balance between the So, God is going to help you to become Jesus' name. You see, the adults cannot share flies. They are too big. They can't share. So that they will know that they are sons or they are disciples of Pascal. No, no, no. It, they would rather come in more unraveled, sneak in into the meeting, they come to be blessed. They sneak in and then they sneak out. But they've been blessed, actually. They will never make noise about it. It was a really impactful program, you know. We're really blessed. And God richly bless you, man. God richly. I mean, so the little children were brought to him that he might put his hands on them. Put his hands on them and he blessed them. An argumentative husband, an argumentative wife, a wife that does not understand, a husband that does not understand. You are not praying. Because when you do, you cannot be that way. So there's a supernatural effect of prayer on our hearts, of humility, and being childlike. You see, this, when you have not prayed, is when you usually get angry and you want everybody to notice your presence and why are they not respecting you. When you pray, you don't have that much of a problem. There's not that much of a problem. Because you're not really bothered about a lot of things. Many times when I go on evangelism with a group of people, and then you see that somebody's maybe treating me anyhow, or talking to me anyhow, or giving straight answers anyhow, and they're trying to say, I'm like, relax, I'm your pastor. I'm not their pastor, so they can handle me anyhow. Relax. They can say anything they want to say. I'm very fine. I don't have a problem with it at all. Can collect all the insults, collect all the, we are not ready for you. Come back in 2 days. I can collect all the, with smiles. And I actually come back, come to check on them. I'm your pastor. I'm not their pastor. If they spat on Jesus, if they whipped Jesus, they sacked Jesus, they almost threw him off a cliff, they would want to do something to me. So we're going to stay on this one, maybe today and tomorrow. Ephesians 5:17-21. We'll look at submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Man who is full of the Spirit is a man who is humble. You can't get it wrong. You can't get it wrong. You can't get it wrong. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation or excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Then he says, and do not be drunk with wine. No, okay, but be filled with Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart unto the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Then he says, submitting to one another in the fear of the Lord. Then he says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. So you see that, but be filled with the Spirit is what gives us the ability to submit one to another. To submit one to another. There's a life of humility in those who are full of the Spirit. Those who sing, those who make melodies in their hearts, those who pray. But we're talking about the supernatural effect of prayer. Right? So God wants us to have a brokenness or a meekness. You know, not a harsh personality. that makes us want to insist on having our own way. It must be my way or no other way. It has to happen my way or no other way. There are some people, if they don't get what they want, everybody shouldn't get what they want. Everybody should fail. Yeah, everybody should. I was talking to a group of people. I didn't know how to achieve. You see, sometimes when a thief is caught, if he's a very compassionate, humble thief, he suffers the blame alone. But not some thieves. They catch, they say, once they've caught me, give me book and pen. As soon as you see 050-444-555-222. Kwame Kumasi 024-999. Then they give the location. Oh, Kwesi Kokomene. In fact, this one, he's high tech than me. He's high tech. He steals more than me. So if you get him, you have gotten a king. And there's another one. He started stealing, but he has stopped. But he has also stolen it as before. But now he's working, but getting him, he's also a thief. The last person, he's begging to go to Dubai. Follow him there. So this. Everybody's included. Yes. Once it's not, it didn't go well for him. It won't go well for all of you. It won't go well for all of you. It's like somebody that they declared sentence, life imprisonment. He just lifts up his hand and says, okay, since I'm life imprisonment, everybody, 19 names, you give all of them, all the 19. So if it doesn't go his way, it doesn't go anybody else's way. You see, that's the life. Flipping the coin on the good side. See, there are some people who, if something good does not happen to them, it should not happen to anybody else. So you see, they can't celebrate somebody. They can't be genuinely happy about someone. They can't be excited about what somebody has. They can't be, you know, somebody that recognizes what has happened in the life of somebody that is good and that they also wish would have happened for them. They can't celebrate. They just play blind and they play deaf and they play like it's not really important. No, don't do that. When you're full of the Spirit, you don't have a hard time submitting to others. That's what I'm going to pray for you. That CFI people will have the best of church relationships and will have the best of marriages because they can submit one to themselves and they understand one to themselves. So it will not be difficult. It will not be difficult. It will be difficult that much. Don't get angry. I told you, put your titles aside, put your levels aside, put your level 400. You are also in level 400. I was even the one 2 years ahead of you. Now you are saying we are in the same ministry and the same church, so you want to pretend like you don't know. Let's put all those aside. Let's see. Can we just nullify all of those things and just see ourselves as one big united family? No level, no rich, no poor, no whatever, no title, no director, no directress, no. What this, that, do that, do. No, just flow in whatever it is we have. Submitting yourselves one to another. That's why I encourage everybody to call every man Sir and every woman Ma. Ma is not here. When you speak like a Ghanaian, Ma means mother. Ma does not mean mother. When you call somebody Ma, it's like you are calling them old woman. We are not calling you old woman. Ma is just the opposite for Sir, just in case you know or you don't know. So it's like Ma, short form for Sir. Do you understand? So when we say Sir or Sir, I'm talking about an old man. Is that okay? Great. So even to a 12-year-old boy, yes, sir. It's good to see you, sir. Please sit here, sir. A 9-year-old. Oh, sir, it's good to have you. Wow. Good to see you, sir. See that. Oh, ma, it's... Maybe she's 14. Oh, ma, you're welcome. Oh, sit down. Oh, enjoy yourself. Oh, please sit this way. submitting yourselves one to another. See, if we're able to do this, what we're going to do is that we're going to kick the devil out of our midst. There'll be no strife. There'll be no divisions. There'll be no anger. There'll be no envy. Then we can have greater levels of manifestation of the Spirit of God in our meetings. That's all that happens. So they're saying that wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. The scripture is the one saying it. Unfortunately, I'm not the one saying it. So if I'm not the one saying it, I have to teach you the reason. It says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. They are not saying women, submit to men. They are not saying women, submit. So women are not subject to men. No. Women are not subject to men. There is no male nor female. We respect ourselves. We walk it good. But when you get married, they are saying that wives, submit yourselves to your husbands. So if somebody is not your wife, please don't tell her that, hey, you are unsubmissive. Don't say that to a woman that is not your wife. She's supposed to submit herself to her husband. Women and men are one self in Christ. Okay? So, wives, submit yourselves unto your husband. Then, don't forget, when we say wives, then the guys are happy. Let's go back to verse 21. I intentionally read verse 22. Let's read verse 21 again so everybody hears it. So it's not like only the wives should submit themselves. Right? Okay. So they are saying that what we actually have to do is submit to one another in the fear of the Lord. So he uses the submission in connection with believers. Right? Then he uses submission with respect to wives and their husbands. And say, hey, if you don't do what I'm telling you to do, I'll slap you, my wife. No. That does not sound like someone who's filled and overflowing with the Spirit. So you love the women. You treat them very carefully. Yes. That's what you do. You submit one to another as believers, because you are both believers. Then the wives also submit themselves to their husbands. So we have a double way submission. Do you see that? Yes. Say, you have to cook. What if you also make time to cook? I'm not saying that you can also make time to cook. I'm not saying the ladies should also say that, but I'm saying that the men, you can also. It's a nice thing. It's not a bad thing. So, you know, to be full of the Spirit, you can also do that. Kenneth Hagin says that he was home very few times, but all the times he was home, he fried eggs when he was home, and he always gave the best egg to his wife every time. So if he fried four eggs and the egg was bent, he took the bent one, he gave the best one to his wife. And it's true, his wife was his better half. Aretha was his better. And I want you to learn that also. So you always give the best. Let them do their hair. Then you can barber your hair. Don't go and do rasta and say your wife should downcut. Why don't you downcut? Your wife should do rasta. You want to do rasta, your wife should do downcut. It's like food. Men, you have your meat on your soup, like they are going to. Anyway, that's just by the way. So, you submit yourselves one to another. I'm telling you, it's the proof of a spirit-filled life. It's a proof of a spirit-filled life. You have this humility. There's that humility. I pray that as you give yourself to prayer, there's this supernatural, childlike humility. Tomorrow we're going to continue on the same discussion. But there's going to be this supernatural, childlike humility in your heart. They tell you to do instructions, you do. You're childlike. You're childlike. You're childlike. You easily believe. That's who a child is. You easily believe. Easily believe. I tell you that I'll buy you everything. You see an adult and then look what he's saying. Saying, how much does he have? A child said, if you buy me an airplane, yes, I am happy. I'm waiting for the airplane. Childlike. You see, and it's easy to get childlike people healed. It's easy to get childlike people blessed. It's easy to get childlike people taught. You know, I'll be teaching you something. And the childlike ones are receiving it. They're happy. They're, wow, this is blessing. This is blessed. Yeah, I mean, wow, I was so blessed. Hey, that's a blessing. Wow. You see, the ones that feel like they're mature. It's just basic revelation. Basic revelation, but you don't know. You are very proud. You don't know. You don't know. It's very basic. He teaches very basically. And I want to let you know, my aim and my goal is not to be profound. I've always been telling you this. My aim and my goal is never to be profound and to sound intelligent, such that I need professors with dictionaries and professors with high-sounding understanding to understand what I'm saying. My aim is not to be, you know, very, what do you call it? I don't even like people telling me that was deep. I could get confused. What deep? What is deep about what I'm teaching you? But it carries life. When you hear it, you're refreshed. It keeps you moving. It keeps your spiritual life green. It keeps you potent. It keeps you consistent. You're always fired up when you hear that same voice. Simplicity of the teaching, but it's powerful. It's powerful. Powerful. Power is always powerful. Simple. But it blesses you. Simple words, but it keeps coming to your mind every single day. It's like when you're about to do something, a teaching, a phrase, something pops up, something shows up, something comes to your mind, something you heard before comes again. He will use always the simple things to confound the wise. So I want to sound as simple. Children should be able to understand me. And they should be able to say, we want to listen to his teachings. Because we can understand what this is. It's not far from us. It's not far from us. It's not far from us. And it's with this we're going to build many cities and many nations, just with this single gift of teaching, but powerful in the Holy Spirit and in His nature. That's how it's going to be. Just simple. Doesn't have to be anything complicated. Do you know that Billy Graham is so far one of the most respected men of God who ever lived? No precedence. No man of God has seen precedence like Billy Graham did. No man of God. No man of God. He was one of the few men of God who was clearly stated in a museum. His body was there with other high precedents. Some precedents couldn't even make it, but his body was kept. Kept in a special place. Not a museum per se, but it was kept in a special place. But what did Billy Graham do? Is not Jesus Savior of the world? That was all. Jesus Savior of the world, that was all. Jesus Savior of the world, that was all. That was his major message around the world. Field stadiums, Jesus Savior of the world. Bishop Dag, is it not Lazarus and the rich man he preaches on his crusades? Yes. Lazarus. You see him just preach on Lazarus. But it's the power of God. So, when we are childlike, you see God using many mighty things. In small things, for out of the mouth of babes and sucklings has he ordained power. Out of the mouth of babes, sucklings, he has ordained power through those feeble lips. So we're going to stick to it. Childlike. We receive everything. We're excited. We learn everything. We listen to everything with so much enthusiasm, with so much amazement, with so much hunger, with so much thirst, with so much amusement. We're happy. We're excited. We're full of joy. 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 We're happy. We're full of joy. We're happy, we're full of joy. I'm talking about happiness and full of joy. Both together, we are full of joy. One is higher than the other, but we are full of both every time. There's no room for crying, no room for, why, God, have you disappointed me? No. Full of joy every time. We like to have a very jolly atmosphere. Happy. No, respect me. No, you have to, hey, bow down to me. Oh no, it doesn't have to go that way. You don't have to go that way. Just flow and be happy. Are you listening? And you see how God is going to be increasing you at your workplace. Some of your workplace, if you just learn to greet somebody, your promotion and your increase will come. But you enter, then you will not greet. You won't greet anybody. You see people by your door, you walk past them and you go. You don't greet anybody. You don't talk to anybody. You don't mind anybody in the area. They don't even know you. And they still say, hey, woman, where do you want you out? You names are on chia. No, don't be like that. Right? Be humble. Be childlike. Oh, mommy, good afternoon. You meet another mommy. Mommy, good afternoon. Oh, Pacho, good afternoon. Oh, mommy, afternoon. Good afternoon, mommy. Oh, dad, Pacho, me chao. See, a childlike, these people, these areas, when you come, they don't even greet you. You want them to greet you. You've not greeted anybody. So as you give yourself to prayer, there's going to be this supernatural effect of being childlike and humble. You see everything with a base opinion. Like you're not lofty in your thinking. It doesn't always have to be you. It doesn't always have to be your name. It doesn't always have to be about you. It doesn't have to be centered around you. See, God is raising you as in, see, it's not too long. Many of you will be millionaires with childlike attitudes. When they meet you, they'll not even know that you are a millionaire. Not in Ghana cities. I don't like having conversations in Ghana cities. Millionaires. US dollars. But when they see you drive a very good car, but you don't want everybody to even know the car you drive. So that they will say that, oh, we want to respect. Then one day somebody sees you mistakenly just sitting in the car and say, hey, this guy, hey. Yeah, we didn't know. Childlike. You are a CEO, but when you come to church and you are serving the Lord, you are leading the people, you are singing, you are ushering, you are praying, you are leading this, you are doing that, they'll be wondering that, they'll think, oh, you don't have anything. You don't have anything. A man of God, when I was in Central University, called me sometime. He met me, actually, and he said, man of God, I want to ask you something. And he said, are your parents dead? I said, my parents are not dead. My parents are alive. He couldn't believe it because he thought I was an orphan. Yeah, that's how he thought I was. He thought I was an orphan. Because somebody who comes
and then the gift of God is very strong on you like this, and you are very slow, it's like you don't talk, you are just calm, you couldn't believe. He was asking me if both of my, at least kill one of them, and just say, it's one of your parents, he said, no, are both, and he was not asking like, prophesy, you know, he was asking to just know that, why do you look like you don't have anything in this world? At both of your parents, and I said, please, my parents are very, very alive. Both of them are alive, so it's fine. Because he couldn't believe that I could be that simple and that quiet, and I'm not so much everywhere and all of that. God is giving you a very childlike spirit. Childlike. It's like you are a child. You can be rebuked. You can be shouted on. You can be instructed. You can be, your boss can tell, hey, go and do it. And he doesn't say, hey, even my father has not shouted on me like this. My father has never done this. Even my mother, not to talk about you, please, just shut up and do what they want you to do. Just shut up and do what they want you to do. Don't say that your father has not, your mother has not, your auntie has not. Okay, now they are doing it. Just accept the rebuke. Are you listening? God is granting and filling people with childlike spirits. In this Zelo meeting, men who are ready to receive childlike, they are blessed. They are willing. They are open. They are not restraining. Resistant to the power of God. Resistant to the flow of God's Spirit. Resistant to the song. You see, childlike, when they are singing, their hands are up. They are singing along. You see, when it's not my childlike, it's beautiful. They don't even know the words, so, but it's like they are forcing to sing the song. Yeah, when you sound like by a child, they don't know the words. So. Maybe the song is Jesus is the Savior. You say, Jesus the, maybe this this is childlike. It's like they just want to do something. Just they want to flow. They just want to flow. Yeah, they just want to flow. So they'll brew, so far, turn over, flip over. You say, hey, this person is suffering, flip over. But eventually, then you see that they are now starting to sing the song. It's childlike. It's not that a person who is composed. Let me not make any mistakes so that they don't know that I don't know the song. No, just sing the song. The way you can, just flow with it. Yes, just flow with it. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for your grace. And thank you for childlike hearts. Childlike hearts. Be able to serve your husbands. Your husbands will also be able to be childlike towards your serving. Now you serve them and they say, hey, come here. Why is the meat on the left side and then the thing is on the right side? I've always told you, but you never seem to listen. 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 I told you, I don't like this thing on the right side. Put the meat on the right side and put the rice on the left side and put the salad in the middle. Put it in the middle. Put it in the middle. That's why you never listen. You never listen. You're like your mother. You don't listen. No, you don't listen. Very stubborn. Please take the food out of my sight. And you see the woman, oh, please, I'm very sorry. Oh, how about you just take the food? And you childlikely eat the food. And you say, but today the meal was very good. Oh, you know, I was told you that you should put this thing on the left side. Oh, hey, but the meal was very, oh, I enjoyed the meal. I really loved prepared for me. Thank you so much for let me send the bowl out. Say, oh no, honey, please let me no, oh, I'll wash the, please bring the bowls. Bring your bowl. And then it's not. Yeah, I've finished. Come and pick the bowls and clear off the table. I'll be back in 25 minutes. I'll never give my daughter to you if I had one. I'll never do it. Like you go and maltreat her and you treat her like she's asleep. I'll never do it.
go and find somebody to marry. So all my daughters here, I pray for you in Jesus' name. You have people who will not stress you. You both be childlike. So you can flow. You can flow. You can talk. You can have relationships. Meaningful. Excited. Being too puffed up. Or puffed up. The church will be childlike. So the grace of God is here. You see people responding to it. The power of God is here to heal. You see people responding to it. Receive a miracle, and you see somebody receive a miracle because they are ready to receive. In our homes, we'll be childlike towards our parents, childlike towards our siblings, childlike towards the people around us. Just a heart that loves to learn, that loves to receive, that loves to listen. In Jesus' name. I'm going to place quite some balance on this, maybe by tomorrow, and then we'll have an excited. Don't forget, let's go childlike about the invitations, childlike about the flyers, childlike about responsibilities given us. We just love it and we are happy. A happy people will make a happy pastor. And a happy pastor will make a happy people. Right? So just full joy. Now let me say this something again. A joyful people will make a joyful pastor. A joyful pastor, make a joyful people. Right? So when we get in there and we are praising childlike, we are singing childlike, we are rejoicing childlike. Father, thank you. From now, start to smile a lot. Start to smile a lot. The ladies start to smile a lot. Everywhere you are just smiling. Everywhere we see you are smiling. Everywhere we see you are smiling. You are full of smiles. Full of smiles.
Right. While we're praying, you know, the Lord just drew my attention to something. And He said, draw their minds also to this. That what you are teaching them currently will cause them to increase in the grace of God upon their lives. So I was curious. You see, what I'm teaching you yesterday and what I'll be teaching you this evening, or what we'll be having a conversation on this evening, He says, tell them it has the ability to cause them to increase in the grace of God on their lives. You see, the grace of God is the beauty that shows forth on you. There are different diversities of God's grace. It's multifaceted, it's in different forms, diverse in its ways. But for whatever it is that you have, as the grace of God, you're going to see an increase. Yes, you're going to see an increase. That's what He said I should tell you. He said you're going to see an increase in the grace of God on your life. Because you know what? He says He gives grace to the humble. So He's giving you grace via the teachings. That's what He's doing. Yesterday, today, He's pouring out grace. Some of you could not function in a certain way. But all you needed was to be like a child, to begin to walk in the things that you have so much desired. And as you assume that position, you're going to start to see the grace of God. You see, you're going to start to see the grace of God. You're going to start to see the grace of God. You're going to be able to flow much better. Because it will not any longer be dependent on you and what you want and what you have to do. You are going to, like a child, while I teach you on these attributes, just learn to rest on Him and believe God for what He's doing in your life. So He says, I should tell you, just draw their minds to it. These teachings, yesterday, today, I don't know if it's going to continue to tomorrow, but it's going to cause the grace of God upon your life to increase. Because He will give grace to the humble, and to the proud He would resist and fight and oppose and bring down and pull down. But to the abased He would lift up with His mighty hand. So I want you to take it very seriously. Some of you, you see, some of you, I don't know whether I'm your pastor, so I can tell you. These two teachings is what will determine whether you'll be married or not. Yes. It will determine. Yes. Because you are very high-minded and very proud, and you can be like a child. You can't talk to anybody. You can't submit to anybody. You can't, anybody can't tell you what to do. These two teachings, it's what will tell whether somebody would like you. Say, no, I like that girl. Why do you like her? She's very humble. Yeah, she's very humble. Oh, the way I met her the last time, and she had time to talk to me, even though she was in a hurry. I'm like, no, I'm in a hurry. I have to go. Yes, what do you have to say? No. Yes. So the way they were serving the food, but I came in late. I shouldn't have had, but she forced for me to get food. I think she's going to be a very good sister. Yes. It's going to tell whether somebody would like you. You see, sometimes the reasons why people don't, I'm hoping there's nobody here, the people don't like you like that. I'm not saying they don't, but they don't like you like that. It's because they can sense this pride and this arrogance. It's sensing, you can sense that it's pride and arrogancy. So it doesn't have to be in a relationship. Like your boss, the reason why he doesn't really flow with you well is because he can sense that this person is not, very humble. Yeah. But from today, and from the teachings yesterday and today, your bosses are going to love you. They'll call you to do all the donkey work. You do it heartily. You talk to them. You flow. You frown your face when you are going to your office. You just be, you know, just getting involved. Before you realize, they'll say, oh, this person has been recommended for a position. And then everybody's going, we're here 7 years. We're here 5 years. And she just came and she's come. The boss is sleeping with her. The boss is not sleeping with her. It's not everybody that the boss is sleeping with that gives a problem. It's not everybody. That's because of your bad characters. They can't push you into places, and they can't trust you. They can't trust you. Trust you. So from this teaching, I'm hoping it continues tomorrow. I don't know how it's going to end, but as you hear it, you're going to have that heart. That heart of a child. You listen. A child listens. Yeah. That's not what I came to teach about. What I'm talking about is purely by inspiration. What I came to talk about is shortly. But I just want to set the ball rolling. So a child listens. And you say, do this, do this, do this, do this. They want to do it. They want to do it. They don't argue. Give diverging opinions. See that? Yes. Sometimes your boss is clearly wrong in the midst of everybody. That's not the time to tell him in front of everybody that he's wrong. You just accept the blame. When you go indoors, you tell them, hey, this one there, I did it, oh, this one power there, I did it. But you collected it for me. And you're gaining, you know, favor. You're gaining credibility. You're gaining good stance. And you see that the favor of the Lord that people pray for and fast for and, you know, cry for becomes something that is very natural to you. So this evening, I just want to, you know, straighten up something, because while I was praying, I realized there was something to be straightened. You see, because sometimes when you teach, most of the times in, when you teach people, what happens is that they either hear something that you didn't say, or they make assumptions into what you never meant. In a teaching ministry, they hear something that you didn't say. So it's like when people hear you, they have other things that they hear that you didn't say. Then they have heard you, but they are also assumptions of something that you didn't intend to say. So what I'm trying to do in this teaching session is to make myself very clear as possible, so that nobody makes assumptions or nobody hears differently. Now, I spoke about childlikeness, and I wanted to add something so that I can make our food very solid on this subject matter. You know, as you attain this mind, you would have a lot of caution to be simple-minded towards wrong. We're not saying be a child, so when you see fire, you go and jump in the fire. No. So, that's what I'm saying. I just want to put something in place, then we can be good to go. So, you will be cautious, or you will endeavor to be simple-minded in wrong things. You know, when you say someone is simple-minded in the wrong, it means that they exhibit little intelligence towards the wrong. If we say Kofi is simple-minded to wrong, it means he exhibits no intelligence sophisticated enough to do wrong. That's number one. It also means that when he sees something that is wrong, he's able to frown on it. So, you are simple-minded towards the things that are wrong. You have a way of frowning on. That's how to be a child too, right? In God's mind. And in God, you see, it's like, for example, when you tell a child, this thing I'm telling you, don't tell anybody. If you don't know children, don't tell them anything you don't want them to tell anybody. Because anything that you tell them, you see that even when the person that comes to you and says that, in fact, you don't even need to bring it up. They'll bring it up. They'll say that, Mr. Sumesi, my mother said, they just expose you. Especially if you are there with children and you like talking about other people, you'll be shocked that when the people come inside, they'll say, my mother was talking there. And she said, you are a very dirty woman. And then you see that you are trying to say, hey, did I say that? But you know very well that, oh, you said it. But they are simple-minded towards wrong. It means they don't condone They don't hide anything that is wrong. They are simple-minded towards wrong. They show little intelligence towards things that are wrong. So, you see that? Me, they've done it to my mother before. My kid brothers, when they were much younger, I think she said something to them. And the person came and they repeated everything that my mother had said in the absence of the person. That's how I knew that a child is simple-minded towards the wrong. They don't condone wrong. They don't entertain wrong. So, in being childlike, I'm not saying that when you see wrong things, you are just innocent to wrong. No. When you see a man who is as old as being your father, and the man wants to have something to do with you, you see, somebody who is childlike will be able to call mommy and daddy and say, "Mommy, daddy, there's this 48-year-old man. He's been calling me and he's been doing this. Hello, pastor. There's this 49-year-old man. He's been trying to get to me. And I don't know where he had this and this and this and this, but he's been trying to get to me." You see, a child will be simple-minded towards the wrong. They don't condone it. They don't entertain it. They easily expose. It's adults that like to hide a lot of secrets. Don't tell a child a secret, please. So you're going to learn to be simple-minded towards things that are wrong. Frown on them. How you frown on them is you expose. Right? You don't find yourself as part. You are simple when it comes to sin. You are simple when it comes to wrong. You are quick to know that this person is trying to force me to involve myself in a dubious deal. That's a child. And he refrains away instantly. So, there has to be that simplicity of mind. It's like, you don't want any issue. You don't try to hide anything. You don't try to keep anything. You see, a child is devoid of subtlety. It's like, they are not... You see, a snake is known for its subtlety. It's known to be, you know, hiding and hiding in certain spots. You never know. But not a child. Everything that he went to school and his madam said to him, when he comes, he will say it to you. If you ask him and if he remembers it, he will say to you, "Madam said this, madam said this." And even madam said, "Your food is not sweet." Is that not how children have gone to put their madams into trouble in front of their parents? "My madam ate all my food today and she said your food is not sweet." That's what she said. She said your food is not sweet. And your rice is not well cooked. So they are simple to wrong. They don't condone. A child, believe a child, I'm telling you. Unless the child is a grown-up in a child's body. But believe a child. Because they are simple to sin. You are free from deceit. Unsophisticated towards wrong. That's why... when I teach on subject matters concerning loyalty, you see, the people who are children, who have been taught to be children, they'll tell me everything. They don't hide anything from me. But you see, it is the one that is quite sophisticated, that feels like I can handle it. And many times they get into the ditch. Tell your teacher, this person just said this. See, the children would say, "This person just said this right now." The children, they are like that. It's like the moment you give the gossip now, the person comes in and they say, mommy, hey, auntie, this thing has come. You were talking about her this afternoon. Hey, and mommy, you said, she has already." And you see that the mother is itching, trying to say, hey, Junior. But Junior doesn't have sense that much to keep things that you have told him. So you're going to be simple towards sin, simple towards wrong. when you see things that are wrong, be childlike towards wrong. Don't become very sophisticated. It's like now you want to be a mastermind to something that is wrong. Someone sent me something and the person said, it's been happening for 3 weeks right now or something. And I wanted to tell the person, don't tell me something that's happened 3 weeks. Now that it's bad and it's messed up, you're not bringing it to me. Now there's almost very little that can be done. You held it on 3 weeks, and then after 3 weeks, after you have done everything there is to do, you have messed up every situation, then you now say, oh, Pastor, please, I want to... Why should you keep all of this? So a child will be devoid of subtlety. So you're going to learn to be simple-minded, free from deceit. I know everybody has that kind of a person in their class. When it comes to math, they don't know anything. English, they don't know anything. Environmental studies, they don't know anything. Then when it comes to jams, it comes to pornography. I had people like that, maybe a person or two like that in my class. They fail woefully. But when it comes to some other stubborn and bad things, very bad, you see that they are masters. No, that's not a child. Don't be like that. Don't be sophisticated towards wrong. It's like you know wrong things, but when it comes to Bible, you don't know. It comes to discipleship, you don't do. It comes to this, you don't do. So you find a child not hiding anything. They don't know how to hide anything. They don't hide anything. You know, some time ago, somebody I think is a child, very good child in the context of which I'm teaching. Someone said something to the fellow, and she called me immediately, and she said, Daddy, this is what this person has said. So, maybe a proposal or something. Daddy, that's what this person... And I said, oh, I see. You see, but somebody who is sitting back will say, why is she so some way? Why can't she hide it? Can't she do that? Can't she do... I'm telling you, the few hours or the few... She had already called to tell me that, this what this... And I knew that was a child. No, we can handle. Let's play out. What do you call it? Then the next time you're hearing something about it, is that maybe their heart's broken, something. The guys try to do something to them, something has happened, something just happens, like, and then they now show up, say, we couldn't handle it. No. When it comes to being a child, you must lack experience with wrong things. Don't have experience with wrong things. And don't be prone to condoning and doing wrong things. When you see something that is wrong, don't smile at it. Don't giggle and laugh. No, be a child to things that are wrong. Be a child to things that are wrong. Be a child to things that are wrong. Lack experience when it comes to things that are wrong. There was a girl like that, my class, bless the darling, a very bad girl. She will not learn. But when it comes to bad things, you can count on her. You can count on her that this one, she will not learn. 15%, 22%, 27%, 40%, 20% to 32%. But when it comes to jams, when it comes to organizing parties, when it comes to nightclub at this place, oh, let's go here. Do we know this at their inside? No. You should be simple-minded towards wrong. Be simple-minded towards wrong. So don't see wrong things and also just innocently play along. The girls, you should be very smart. When you see a guy, I was talking to someone and I was telling him, I said, you see, I mean, you should know that this is what is happening. You should be able to see that. You should be able to see that this is what is happening. But you see them just following along like zombies. They are just zoo like that. They are just following along until something happens. Oh. And as you remain childlike, you see what? You're going to be increasing in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Increasing in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Simple-minded to the supernatural. Yeah, simple-minded to the supernatural. You don't have any doubts concerning the supernatural. You don't have doubt. Why is it that when you see a healing on TV or a miracle, the first thing that comes to you is fake? Oh. Why do you think of the wrong things before you think of the right things? It means that you are simple-minded towards, what do you call it? You show little intelligence towards the things that are wrong. I mean, are right. You can't say this is right and this is wrong. Don't show little intelligence or simple intelligence towards the things that are, are right. Accept that those things are true. Believe that miracles are there. Agree that it happens. Believe in the supernatural. And when it comes to people telling, hey, nowadays they are already fake miracles, fake. Say, no, me, I'm simple-minded towards fake. I don't know too much about fake. Say, nowadays every man of God is fake. No, be simple-minded towards that. Know little about fake men of God. They are true men of God. They are true men of God. They are true men of God. And your pastor is a true man of God. So you should show simple-mindedness towards the things that are wrong. Yeah. So now pastors are very this. No, show simple-mindedness towards that. Now, I know very little about that. The grace of God upon your life is increasing in Jesus' name. Grace of God upon your life is increasing. God's grace is increasing on your life. You see, when you meet people, be simple-minded towards wrong. Don't try to judge and don't try to... No, when you see someone... Don't be simple-minded thoughts, you know. The right things. Like when somebody does something, you're already judgmental. No, don't see the wrongs. Don't look at those things. Don't look at those things. I'm teaching you how to increase in the grace of God. Don't look at men's frailties. Don't look at men's weaknesses. When you see, even when you see a prostitute, the first thing you should see concerning her shouldn't be about her prostitution. No, don't look at her prostitution. Look far beyond that. Be simple-minded towards the things that are wrong. Don't see people and just say that, oh, no. Now, I'm not saying that be negligent I'm saying that when you see people, love them, right? Don't just see someone and say, you know, I hate this person. Rather, when you see somebody who hates somebody, then you tell the person that, no, me, I don't hate people. I don't hate people. John chapter 1, verse 47, our last scripture. I'll show you an example of simple-mindedness. Jesus makes reference of somebody who was simple-minded. You know, the moment Jesus saw him, who happened to be Nathanael, I want you to post NLT and TPT. You see the opinion that Jesus has about him. Yes, and then TPT. Yes. Do you see that? So the moment Jesus saw, I'm trying to tell you how to be simple-minded towards the things that are wrong. He says in John 1:47, Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and said of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile." You see how the TPT puts it? An honest man with no hidden motive. Complete integrity, simple-minded towards wrong. He would not steal. He would not lie. You know, many of us like to be bearers of bad news. Don't be simple-minded in that manner. So less intelligent for things that are wrong, things that are bad. You know, well, Ghana is becoming a poor country. People are suffering. Be simple-minded towards that. It means that don't be too intelligent in many wrong things and in many ideologies of the world. Be simple-minded. That's how God is going to take care of you. And that's how God is going to provide and give you many miracles. Yes. Now, listen to Nathanael, in whom there is no guile. Verse 49, the same translations. Listen to what Nathanael said. Wow. He suddenly knew by revelation who Jesus was. He says, when Jesus saw Nathanael, here comes the true son of Israel, an honest man with no hidden motive. Nathanael blurted out, "Teacher, you are truly the Son of God and the King of Israel." Wow. So he has revelation. He's simple-minded. He's not with any hidden. So he was able to tell that this is Jesus, the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. He has revelation. So from today, don't let people call you, "Hey, you're a bad girl, pal." Don't agree to those things. No, I'm simple-minded towards wrong. simple-minded towards gossip, simple-minded towards negative information. Don't be fishing up negative information. This person has done this. This person has done that. This person has said this. This person. No, just please, let's just simple-minded towards the things that are wrong. I have little intelligence to things that are wrong. Little intelligence to gossip. Little intelligence to wrong. I only focus on the things that are good. Only focus on the things that are right. I frown upon, you know, things that are wrong. I frown upon them. I frown upon them. I don't entertain them. I don't keep them around me. You are increasing in grace in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you this evening. You know, when they come to tell you that this person has done this, and this person has done that, and this person has done this, just smile and say, you know what? It's fine. Oh, this person said you are like this. Meanwhile, you didn't hear the person. Somebody's come to tell you that this person said you are like that. No, be simple-minded. Don't have any issues with anyone. Don't have any issues. Be simple-minded. You see, you will keep increasing in the grace of God. You will keep increasing in the grace of God. And they will keep having more things to say. They'll keep having more things to say. And you also keep increasing in the grace. He said, oh, no, it's fine. Oh, he said that. Oh, no, don't worry. I don't have a problem. It's okay. It's okay. Let's talk about something else. How have you been? Oh, what are you doing? Oh, yes. Be simple minded. You see me? I'm very simple minded. Oh. If you say you don't like me, I've done this. I've done that. I'm like that. It doesn't affect me in any way. Yeah, I'm simple minded to things that are wrong. I don't even pay attention to them. I don't even have time. In fact, many of the times I don't even feel like, I should be the one God is using. So I don't have a problem when people don't seem to like what I'm doing or people don't agree. I wouldn't have chosen myself. Yeah, I wouldn't have chosen myself. If I were to choose myself, I would not choose myself. So I don't know why I should be worried over something that somebody else doesn't like if I didn't get to choose myself for it. Yeah, it's one of the things I asked Jesus. If I was choosing, I will not choose myself. So I don't know why I should be worried when somebody says they don't like this, they don't like that, they don't do this, they don't. Well, that's fine. Right? So be simple, man. And you see, they can't deny. Yeah, they will not be able to deny the grace of God on you. You can't deny. You can't deny. It will be so, like God will be talking loud for you. Yeah, he'll be talking loud for you. You don't need to talk for yourself. You don't need to explain. No, you don't need all of those. Just love God, serve God in that simplicity of heart and in that simplicity of mind. I see the grace of God upon you increasing in Jesus' name, because you are becoming more like a child. Yeah, more like a child. Simple towards wrong. Simple towards wrong, simple towards sin, simple towards gossip, simple towards attitudes that are not right. You not keep them around you. You easily expose disloyal people. Yeah, you easily talk about people that are disloyal. You are against disloyalty. You are simple in that. Yes. You honor your pastor, you honor your leaders, you honor the people who are around you. You're just simple to that. Yes, just simple-minded. In the name of Jesus. And as you do this, the grace of God upon you is increasing. Hate will be far away from you. Unforgiveness will be far away from you. Because there's nothing a child will say. Have you ever seen a 1-year-old say, 2-year-old, I will never forgive you. I will never forgive you. I will never. They don't even know what forgiveness. They fight right now. The next morning, they are the best friends again. They've forgotten about it. They fight. The next 20 minutes, they are playing again. After a heated fight in the room, they are playing the next 30 minutes. As if they never fought before. It's a heated fight. They're fine. So you'll never have the spirit of unforgiveness. Have things that are wrong. Pain, anxiety towards people. Resentment. Anger. You know, in the name of Jesus. the grace of God upon your life is increasing. You see, grace will make you look beautiful. It'll make you look handsome. It'll make you look pleasant. You'll feel pleasant. There'll be God on you. People smell God around you. You'll be nice to be around. People like to talk to you. You will like to talk to people. You have that aura around. There'll be God's graciousness, God's pleasantness, God's freeness, God's liberality. You know, there's just this liberality. You always give. You always give out. Give without murmuring. Give cheerfully. You're excited. You're happy. You're full of joy every time, blossoming with smiles. It's a supernatural effect as you give yourself to prayer. Father, we thank you for this evening. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen.